Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me now to Acts chapter 21. Acts 21, we continue this hero series, and it may help you to find this piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Choose Complete Commitment to Christ. My friends, that's what it's all about. Taking up your cross, being all in. Don't be halfway in, be all in, be completely committed to Christ. Now, over the years, I've met a lot of committed Christ followers. But one of the most remarkable people I have ever encountered is a man from India named Nazir Masih. Nazir Masih. I met him about 15 years ago in Jackson, Mississippi, and he extended an invitation for me to come to India and visit him. So Douglas McKelvey and I visited him in 2007, and then I've gone back 7 times. Doug's gone back 12 times. But this is a picture of Nazir Masih and me exactly 10 years ago. There we are in the city of Delhi, a place where there are so many people and there is an immense amount of lostness and darkness. As a matter of fact, Northwest India is considered to be one of the darkest quadrants of the earth, with only 0.5% of the people being Christ followers. In other words, 99.5 are not in, not connected. So Nazir, he gets connected to Jesus in a really unique way. His father and mother, they were leaving Pakistan and they were walking over to Punjab, India in the northwest corner. And as they were walking along, an American evangelist was simply handing out English portions of the scripture. This particular portion was of the Gospel of Luke. He took it from the man and he couldn't read English, so he just put it up in his turban and continued to walk on. Well, he put that little Gospel of Luke up on a shelf and it sat there for over 10 years until his son, who was trying to learn English, needed some English to read. His father said, I remember, up on the shelf, there's a little book, I believe it's in English. He reaches up and he gives Nazir the Gospel of Luke. God's word is powerful, my friends. And as Nazir read the Gospel of Luke, the word of God began to penetrate his heart. And that young man came to faith in Jesus Christ. He led his mother and father to trust the Lord. He then started the First Baptist Church of Chandigarh, India. It's a city of over 1 million. He has now networked together several hundred churches that he has been instrumental in planting. Hundreds of young pastors are out there because of the Apostle Paul of Northwest India, Nazir Masih. He has a school with 1,400 children connected to it who will be the future leaders of the Christian movement in India. On Easter Sunday, we got a fabulous word that 731 people were baptized just on Easter Sunday in Nazir's realm. Is that incredible? We just praise God. And we're in on it. We're in on it. We have started 29 churches over there that have been funded and built. But here's what I saw just a few weeks ago. I was preaching in Chandigarh First Baptist Church less than 2 months ago. And Nazir now has full-blown ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. And this is a picture of Nazir Masih at church. He cannot move any part of his body. He is on a ventilator. He communicates by blinking one eye. And he'll spell out a message. And the message he spells out to his family and friends is, I will not miss church. I love the Lord. I'm all in. I'm fully committed. And I want to be with the body of Christ because I understand what Jesus has done for me and I am all in for him. So when I look at that picture of Nazir at church, it somehow puts gas on my faith and it just flames it to fire because it's a picture of what it looks like to be truly, totally, completely committed to the core to Jesus. And here's what I want us to do today. Let's do a spiritual evaluation. Of course, Paul chose complete commitment to Christ. But what about you? Do you tend to be faithful or fickle? Over the years, I've observed many people as they walk with Christ. Some quickly come in and quickly go out. Some are hot, then they go cold. Some are soaring one minute, and they're snoring the next minute, asleep at the wheel. What about you? What about you? You know, my goal, frankly, is to be a bulldog follower of Christ. Do you know the history of a bulldog? About 1,500 years ago, the British developed a special breed of dogs to work cows. Particularly, they worked with butchers. And it was a dog so tough, so powerful, that that dog could grab a hold of a cow's nose and pull him down. Bulldogs are strong, muscular, they're fearless, they're loyal. They have a wrinkled face and a slanted nose so that they can chomp down and still breathe. They don't let go. During World War II, Winston Churchill was often compared to a British bulldog. They would make a caricature of his face and make him look like a bulldog, but I don't think they had to try very hard, actually. But his nose was leaned back, and he stood in defiance against Hitler and Nazi Germany like a determined, fierce bulldog. Well, let me ask you this. Is that the kind of faith you have? You know, what do they call it, the Mississippi State poodles? No. The Mississippi State bulldogs. The Georgia collies? No. The Georgia bulldogs. And that's what the Lord wants of you. That's what He wants of me. He wants us to be fiercely loyal, committed to the core, totally in. As a matter of fact, let's read it together. Look on your worksheet. This is the primary call of Jesus Christ. Let's read it. Then He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow Me." Friend, a cross is a picture of surrender. It's a picture of total and complete commitment. And that is God's expectation for us. Well, come now with me to the scripture, and let's follow Paul, this cross-carrying, committed disciple of Jesus who is all in. The dateline is 57 AD. Paul is on his third missionary journey. He has been instrumental in helping plant churches all over Turkey and Greece, and now he is giving his farewell. Paul is moving from a season of church planting tranquility into captivity. He will be going to prison soon as he goes to Jerusalem. So let's see a vivid picture of Paul's commitment on display beginning in verse 8 of chapter 21. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. We stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. And as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands. And he said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard this, we, as well as the local residents, began begging Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul answered, "What are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart. For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, "The will of the Lord be done." And after these days, we got ready and started on our way to Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, this is our heart cry. We want to be more for you. We want to be fully and completely connected to you. Lord, forgive us for being fickle instead of faithful. And I pray that right now, Lord, you would get me out of the way and allow your Spirit to permeate and pervade this service, depositing your transforming truth into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's hear and heed Christ's call to complete commitment. And let me inform you that it is a process, a four-part process as I see it. Number one, let's start with getting a plan from God. Getting a plan from God. Certainly, that is pictured in Paul's life. Paul received a call, and it was simply this: follow Jesus and help other people follow Jesus. Several years ago, we had a missionary that stayed in our missions home. We've had a missions home for almost 50 years here at First Baptist Montgomery, and the Kearleys have stayed there many times, and just a galaxy of all-stars who are missionaries. And one of those families would have been the Greshams, John and Valerie Gresham. Oh, we were so fond of the Greshams. Their son, Tyler, is still a member of our church. But John Gresham and I were talking, and he was regaling me with where he had served in some of the hardest places in the world where you would be severely persecuted for sharing Christ. And I said, John, how did you do it? What is your job description for being a missionary in such a hard place? He said, it's simple. I just help people follow Jesus. And I was taken back by that disarmingly simple message. I just help people follow Jesus. And I said, John, do you mind if I borrow that? I think I'm going to own that one, because that's what I want to be all about. That's what I do. I help people follow Jesus. That's the call of God. Once he says to you, as he said to the disciples in Matthew 4, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, what does he expect of us? That we follow him and help others do so. Let me reframe what Jesus said. Here is his call to me and you. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus said, go to all nations and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've taught you, and I'm going to be with you as you go. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said, you are to be my witnesses first here in Jerusalem, then spread out to Judea and Samaria. But don't stop there, because everybody matters to God. So go to the ends of the earth and be a witness for Christ. Jesus said at the end of the Gospel of John, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Friends, that is the call of God, to follow Jesus and help others follow Jesus. Well, let me ask you this particular question. Have you heard God's call? Oh, there's a generic call to follow Christ, and then there's a specific call here in Acts chapter 19, verse 21. God said to Paul, go to Jerusalem. I want you to go to a hard place to lift high my name. So have you heard the call of God to follow him? And have you heard the call of God to specifically serve him, to go all in for him? Every time we have a baptism here, it's a picture of somebody who has responded to the call of God. You just saw a beautiful baptism at the beginning of this service. Precious Mary Wallace. Oh, that girl did so good. But what if she said, hey, Pastor Jay, today, if you don't mind, I'm just going to put my toe in the water, and that ought to do. Or what if she said, Pastor Jay, you know, I don't like the way that water is feeling today. I'm just going to put my finger in the water. What if she said, how about my elbow, Pastor Jay? She didn't do that, did she? Did you see her baptism? Oh, I did. She went all in. I held her under till she bubbled. Did you see that? Ooh, it was good. No, I tell you, that's what a baptism is. It's this beautiful, powerful picture of immersion. I want to be immersed in the pardon, in the purpose, in the presence, in the power and provision of God. I'm fully immersed. That's what a baptism is. That's why I love our baptisms here. I've had the privilege of baptizing around 3,000 people. And I'm telling you, it's a picture of being all in. God, I've heard your call. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going all in for you. Have you heard the call? Have you responded to it? Well, let's go to number two. Number two in the process is making a decision. You see, after you hear a call, after you get God's signal, then you got to do something with it. You've got to make a decision. Now, friends, I've lived long enough to know that life is essentially the sum total of your decisions. And here is what the Lord wants for you to do. He wants you, like Paul, after you encounter Jesus, to make a calculated decision. Do you remember Jesus said, count the cost before you start following me? Jesus even made the analogy, before a king goes to war, he better count his soldiers so he doesn't get defeated. Before you build a building, you better check your materials so that you don't get it halfway built and then don't have enough. He said, count the cost. The same applied to Paul. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9, Paul is confronted by Jesus on the Damascus Road. And then he's blinded. He goes there to Damascus. He is fasting, and a man named Ananias shows up. And Ananias, we learn in verse 15, is instructed by the Lord to go and to share with Paul how much he will suffer if he chooses to follow Christ. This is not a health and wealth prosperity gospel message he received that day. He said, show him how much he will suffer if he serves me. You see, Jesus never sugarcoats it. He never discounts discipleship. He says, if you want to come after me, it requires all in, full surrender, total commitment. Pick up your cross. You've got to make a decision. Now, frankly, we find that throughout the Bible. When Moses was giving his farewell address to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says it like this, I put before you this day life and death. Choose God, choose life, make a decision. Joshua said something similar in Joshua 24, verse 15. At the end of his life, he speaks to all of Israel and he says, Israel, will you serve the gods of Baal here among the pagans? He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to make that decision. Elijah, it's noted on your worksheet in 1 Kings chapter 18. He was living in a pagan day of total narcissism. And he takes on the 450 prophets of Baal led by Jezebel. And he says to them, as they gather on Mount Carmel, this huge gathering of people, maybe 200,000 strong, he says to them, how long will you hesitate, Israel, between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If he is not, turn your back on him. Because frankly, that's what you've done. You see, in that valley of decision, God will always call us to follow him afresh and anew. That's what Jesus did. Jesus confronted a young man named the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. This handsome young man comes bounding up to Jesus. And he says, what does it take to have eternal life? And Jesus talked with him about the commandments. And then he said, I've done all those. And then Jesus looks straight into his eyes and he says, you need to sell everything because you don't own your stuff. Your stuff owns you. And you've got to come and follow me. And the Bible simply says that he made the wrong decision. He forfeited treasures for eternity for a few baubles on earth. And he turned his back and he walked away. Now, friend, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is calling you to make a decision about taking up your cross. Do you tend to be a wishy-washy person or a decisive person? Do you tend to have a backbone made out of steel or spaghetti? Steel that's firm and strong and solid to stand up to the culture and the temptations around us. Or do you have a spaghetti spine and you quickly bend to the currents around you? You see, Jesus is calling you to go all in. I love the classic story about the chicken and the pig. One day they were talking about the farmer and how good the farmer was to them. And they wanted to do something to thank the farmer. So the chicken said, you know what we ought to do? The farmer's birthday is coming up. Let's make him a birthday breakfast. And I happen to know his favorite menu would be ham and eggs. Ham and eggs, says the pig. Listen, chicken, for you, eggs would be very simple because that's only a contribution. For me, ham is total commitment. Now, that's the great truth. But that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to go all in, whole hog, so to speak. He wants us to say, Lord, I surrender all to you. You can count on me. I will not turn my back on you no matter what comes my way. I've made a decision. I will not waver. Come with me to number three. Take action. Take action. After a decision comes action. In Acts chapter 21, verse 15, it simply says, Paul goes to Jerusalem. It has been predicted that if he goes to Jerusalem, he will be bound. He will probably be persecuted, hurt, imprisoned, maybe killed. But he did not flinch, but with faithfulness, he said, let's go. I've observed there are three types of people. There are critics, there are the complacent, and there are those who charge on. You know the critic. Their specialty is putting other people down and telling you about the problems and why things won't work. I like this little poem. I feel sorry for the guys who minimize and criticize the other guys whose enterprise has helped them rise above the guys who's minimize and criticize. Now, do you tend to be that critic? Always putting people down, finding why it won't work, finding what is wrong. Or maybe you're the complacent person. The complacent person lives in neutral. They have good intentions, but they just don't get much done. It's pictured in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus went to the lazy servant who got one talent and did nothing with it. And we discover there that you can be heinously wicked for doing nothing, for simply being complacent, for simply staying in neutral. But then there's those who charge on. They get things done. They are doers of the word. That's what the scripture says on your worksheet. James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word, but instead do it. Be doers of the word. I always tell our church staff here at First Baptist Church, if you get a ticket, make sure it's for speeding and not for parking. I want you to get out there and do something that makes a difference for the Lord. And the Lord would tell you the same thing. Well, here's what I want you to understand. God calls us to action. It's time to act. There's a wonderful song by a singer named Matthew West. And Matthew West has a song simply entitled, Do Something. Have you heard it? Do Something. I started to sing it for you, but then I feared you would do something, which is leave. So let me just tell it to you. Matthew West put it like this. I woke up this morning and I saw a world full of trouble now. I thought, how did we get so far down? And how's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I made you. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? Oh, it's not enough to do nothing. It is time to do something. So let me ask you, what are you going to do? It says here in the scripture, verse 15, that Paul said, I've heard your warnings, but I'm going to Jerusalem anyway. What is your Jerusalem? Today, what is God calling you to do? I met a man not long ago, and he said his wife got really sick, and he grew tired of his biblical illiteracy. So he decided to take on the Bible and become a student of God's Word so he would be prepared for the storms of life. Maybe God is saying, do something. Your Jerusalem looks like growing. Become a student of God's living word. Begin to memorize it. Let it permeate your life, your spirit, your actions, your relationships, your attitudes, your reactions. Become a person of prayer. Do something. Let prayer become your Jerusalem. If you need some tutoring, come on Wednesday night. We'll help you out. Do something. Maybe that means quit a relationship or an activity that is holding you back and chaining you down. Maybe your Jerusalem is to serve something, serve someone. That's kind of the special feature of this church. That's why I love this church so much. We create dozens of avenues to serve, starting from right here in the nursery at First Baptist Church to the nursing homes around the city. Cross the street at the Caring Center, or maybe go over and help with the Master's Garden at the Nehemiah Center in Chisholm. Maybe God is calling you to take on a classroom in a public school. We've got issues in our school here, friends. And are we simply going to say somebody else is going to rise up and do it? Maybe some elected official is going to have a genius idea? Or will we own our schools? Aren't they called public because we own them? Are we going to turn a blind eye as they fail? Maybe it's our job to take on a tutoring assignment or a classroom or a whole school. We've got the resources to do it. Are we going to simply turn a blind eye or do something? In the name of Jesus, do something. Move to action. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only who deceives yourself. Well, number four, persevere to the finish line. That's what we see in Paul. Scripture tells us in verse 30 that Paul got to Jerusalem. And do you think they greeted him with a welcome wagon? Did they give him a bouquet of roses? No, they tried to beat the life out of him. Listen to what happens. And the city was aroused. The people rushed together. They took hold of Paul. They dragged him outside of the temple. They started beating him. It says in verse 32 that the Roman soldiers showed up and they had to pull them off of Paul before they pummeled him to death. Can you imagine that? You see, the scripture tells us that Paul persevered to the end. He was thrown into prison, and from this moment forward, he could have been a whiner, but he decided to be a shiner because he used his imprisonment not only to touch the Roman guards, and many came to Christ, but he used his imprisonment to write 14 of the New Testament books, which is half the New Testament books, flowing out of a prison cell. You see, he persevered. He didn't quit. He didn't give in, but instead, he said, I am going to hang in. That's my goal. The scripture that I link you to is Hebrews 12. Oh, friends, I use this scripture 10 times a day because there are a lot of things that come against me. There are a lot of things that come against you. So you need to hear the Lord say again, run your race with endurance. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care how low you've been. Run your race with endurance. Come up here with me. As you keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, you can do it because Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. He will meet you at the finish line. It's kind of like this. Over the years, I've seen a lot of people start the Christian race, and then they seem to quickly run out of gas. I would almost compare them to a bottle rocket. This is called a Texas pop rocket. And I've seen some people, they just start off with a flare, and they flash up high, and then they fizzle and die. It's kind of like they're just a little bottle rocket. I started to set this off today, but then Kenny said I couldn't. I'm so glad. But other people are not like the bottle rocket. You know what they're like? They are like just a candle. Just a simple candle, nothing fancy about it, but just steadily burning, defeating the darkness around them. That's my prayer. Oh, the Lord didn't give me a bunch of fancy talents. I'm not fancy Freddy, but I sure can be steady Eddie. I can be that person who perseveres, continue to race on, carrying my cross, following Jesus, and inviting other people to do the same. Well, let's have a last word here. The application. Your commitment evaluation. Well, which are you? Are you faithful or fickle? Are you hot or cold? Are you a steady eddy candle or a flaring, fizzling bottle rocket? Are you a bulldog or instead are you just a lazy frog jumping to that next safe log? Well, let's pray about it. Father, help us.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.